Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. This is Brandon Marshall Havener, and I got an exciting show for you today. It's called GMO Masculinity, and we're covering a lot. So while I'm recording this, last night the Oscars happened and the Will Smith situation happened with Chris Rock. He slapped Chris Rock in the face. So I want to talk about that, but I don't want it to be just the normal political talk or the normal celebrity gossip. I really want to go deeper into masculinity and relationships, which is why I called this a GMO masculinity episode. And then before that happened, something else happened this weekend with, Elijah Schaefer posting and going off about women not being able to vote and women shouldn't pursue their dreams and careers, and we need to get back to our origins of this country. So I got a lot to say about that as well. Extremism on both sides have been going on. Part of me is tired of the extreme ideologies. Another part of me is happy that I get to talk on everything and I'm not just some person complaining about woke ideology. Like, I get to have a critique of both sides of the situation. And also we can go into the deep conversation around masculinity. And what this episode is good for, it's good for men who are kind of trying to understand how to react in certain situations, how to be more in touch with their masculinity. And it's good for women to understand what to tolerate and what not to tolerate from men. So it's a great show. It's a great episode, guys. So first and foremost, we're going to move up the topic of the Oscars to the forefront, even though this was entered into this episode just now. And it's kind of, you know, it was kind of convenient for this episode because this episode was going to be about protection, masculinity, relationships and things of that nature. And world events sort of fell into my hand. It's almost like the simulation is working for me. But saying that, my heart goes out to all the people involved in that scenario, Chris Rock, Jada Smith, and Will Smith. I hope they find healing. I hope they can patch up a friendship and all that good stuff. You know, at the end of the day, they're humans as well. If this scenario isn't staged, because that's a big possibility too. You know, and with that being said, I want to note here the possibility of it being staged and to be able to not get so emotionally attached as if it were staged. Because if it were staged and you're emotionally reacting in an angry way, it's just using your energy and draining your energy over something that's not even real. But that advice should go for anything in life. Don't allow things to suck your energy and don't allow these things to be sort of a reactionary thing. If you feel reactionary, take some time to breathe, as Will Smith probably should have that night. But hey, you know, take some time to breathe and really protect your energy. You know, boundaries are important. So where am I going at first? First, I want to go into the Oscars. Something interesting to start this out with before we go into the actual Oscars is that last night I came across this video, and this was before this event happened, or at least before I realized it happened. But last night, because I figured out, I discovered this happening after I woke up because I'm an early sleeper. You know, I like to go to bed early. I'm not that exciting of a partying guy. But anyway, last night I was looking up these videos from the rapper Murs, and one of the videos happened to be his opinion on Will Smith and why he's disrespected by the hip-hop community. And he had this Darth Vader theory. And within that video, he said something along the lines of, you know, he was giving props to Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff in the, you know, all the albums that they put together and, you know, all the solo albums he put together and all the numbers he did with music. And he's like, you know, it's weird that hip hop doesn't appreciate Will Smith like other rappers. It's almost like hip hop doesn't even consider Will Smith a rapper. And I found that interesting. And he had this Darth Vader theory, not to do a whole spoiler of his YouTube video. It's still worth watching his breakdown, which was a brilliant breakdown, by the way. But his Darth Vader theory basically said back in those days in the 90s and stuff and beforehand, you know, the original trilogy Star Wars fans, you had people rooting for Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Like, people wanted to dress up like Darth Vader and whatever. And he was pointing out that hip hop kind of, you know, had those like campy, corny type of raps that Will Smith did. But somewhere in the 90s, the pendulum swung to raw and hardcore hip hop that had violence in it and cussing and all that good stuff. And he was pointing out that, like, Will Smith was excluded out. And he pointed out the fact that new acts like Kendrick Lamar and Kanye West even were conscious rappers, but they still had a bit of an edge to them. And it's almost like it's required for rappers to have a little bit of aggression in order to be respected as an artist. And I found that interesting. And later, I watched some Will Smith music videos. And honestly, I don't listen to Will Smith like that. So, but I was like, let's listen to some Wild Wild West. Let's listen to Getting Jiggy With It and hearing his old stuff. Like, I wanted to, you know, I never really paid attention to Will Smith's rapping on a big level. Also, shout out to the song that, why does his name leave my mind? One second here. Because I don't want to leave that thought. What is his name? Fuck. I know it, but it's just not hitting my mind right now. Joyner Lucas. Yeah. Shout out to Joyner Lucas. Sorry, Joyner, if you're listening to this. I know you're a big fan of my podcast. I'm just kidding. I don't have a relationship with Joyner Lucas. But Joyner Lucas actually did a dedication to Will Smith that is fucking amazing. That music video, like, he took all the parts of different Will Smith music videos, and then he got Will Smith's attention. And I believe that song was actually produced by a guy in D.C. that lives right near me. But let me make sure. Lucas, Will. So the song is called Will from ADHD Beat. Let me look up the beat. Who produced this beat? Yup. Will Smith ripped my beat. On it, and ironically, the producer who produced that beat is Crank Lucas. His videos, if you're into hip-hop, Crank Lucas videos are fucking hilarious. Because he does like all these skits. And he's an amazing producer and a rapper. He's from DC. And he produced the beat, the dedication that Joyner Lucas did to Will Smith. And Will Smith saw it and he built a relationship that way. That can be some content advice too. Like, just admiring somebody and paying homage to people. I definitely had some videos back in the day that went viral for paying homage to like other comedians on YouTube and things of that nature. So there's that. But anyway, so I just found that it was interesting that I was going into all this Will Smith content before this actually happened. And then I woke up to hear about what happened with Will Smith. Now, my first comment that I made at this was a joke, obviously. I said, after 3 entanglements, you're going to have to deal with these bald jokes yourself. Now, here's my take on this whole situation. So if you haven't seen it, check out what happened beforehand. It's probably good to see the scenario for yourself to gain an opinion outside of my podcast. I'm guessing everyone has saw what happened. But my opinion on this is that Will Smith was at his wit's end. And from the talks and all the stuff like that and the entanglements and, you know, everything that happened in his marriage, I feel like his back was against the wall. In fact, Eli Marcus wrote something brilliant on this. And I'm going to go into that real quick. Excuse my typing. Shout out to Eli Marcus. So, let's see. He says, every now and then, a man has to fall on his sword. Will Smith fell on his sword to defend his family's honor. Chris Rock was 100% wrong for disrespecting a woman in such a public fashion without her agreeing to be in on the joke. Then to do it while her husband is in the room is a whole new level of savagery. Also acknowledge comedians often explore that gray area, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Let me see. Okay. But I must also say, ladies, when you go on a campaign that suggests your man is weak or you appear to be disrespecting and embarrassing him with the things you publicly say about him, that sends out a signal to the public that makes them feel authorized to attack, belittle, and disrespect your protection. Then once your protection appears to be neutralized and emasculated, they attack you. It always backfires. Will Smith fell on his sword. His back was against a wall. Due to reasons beyond this specific incident and it in and of itself. With that said, I love the Smith family. We can learn something from this and improve our own character protocols and appreciation for our family members. They are us. Try not to judge them too harshly. We all make mistakes. So I agree with a lot of that. Is there anything I disagree with that? Well, one thing I'll say, like, of course, the reaction wasn't the best reaction. But I'm also factoring in the fact that Will Smith is a human, and us as humans, when we're under pressure, we can do things that we regret. But if we're actually looking at the action, I have to say that I highly disagree with people who are championing this as an act of masculinity. And I find it, do I want to say disturbing? I find it interesting that people are seeing this as a brave act of masculinity. And the reason being is because this was an emotional reaction. This was a man at his wit's end, and he has been emasculated, like that post said. He's been emasculated in his relationship. Just like I said with the three entanglements, there were entanglements in his marriage. And people made the argument that it's like, oh, well, their marriage is open. And my rebuttal to that argument is that Will Smith publicly said that he's felt humiliated and his pride was shot, you know, publicly. And he was publicly humiliated on those interviews. So the thing is when you're publicly humiliated by your own wife, your partner, it leaves you susceptible to that situation where your back is against the wall. And what I think, I don't think Chris Rock was, I don't think it was the comment. Like, I don't think it was the comment that set him. I think that was the last straw. But I think he was holding on to a lot of anger and resentment. And he blew up. He blew up in that situation. He reacted. And reacting is not necessarily an act of honor. This isn't to discredit Will Smith or to say he's a bad person. We all have our moments, right? You know, just like Denzel Washington said to him, you know, you can look up the quote, but, you know, like being in the highest moments, the devil will come at you or something along that nature. But can we be mature adults here on this podcast? For all you listeners, I hope you're all adults. But can we be mature adults and actually look at the behavior and can we criticize it without jumping to conclusions that this means we have a personal vendetta or, you know, we're hating on somebody or things of that nature? Can we have this conversation? And if we're honest to ourselves, that was a moment of desperation, and that was very emotionally reactionary. And people say that he was protecting her, but I disagree. And the reason why I disagree is because more than anything, I think he was desperately trying to protect his image because it's already been tarnished. And I think he was trying to protect himself in the marriage. I think there were high expectations. He laughed at first, if you remember, and then he goes up and assaults Chris Rock, right? So it's not an act of honor, and I can see why maybe people are excited in a way of saying that that was protection, but I don't think that was an I think the ultimate way to protect a woman in that situation is to hold her or to walk out together. And of course, you know, it's easy for me to judge if I'm not in that, like in the heated moment. But at the same time, let's not lie to ourselves and say that this was an act of valor, because it was reactionary. And I also believe in rules of engagement and rules of force. I think a man who has mastered his emotions and a man who is trained in combat, for instance, and I'm not saying I'm not a martial arts expert. I've done some combatives in the army, you know, but, you know, basic stuff, nothing too crazy. But the thing is, and I've been in fights in middle school and high school and all that, good times. But the thing is as a man, it's my responsibility to be responsible for my emotions and trying to de-escalate a situation when it's possible. And since Chris wasn't putting his wife in danger, there's other ways of de-escalation and there's other ways of protection. But I also think that the way that their relationship is set up and the way that things have been going, I think he's kind of in that prove it energy. Like, I got to prove I'm a bad guy, like, you know, badass type of way. And, you know, I think she kind of puts him in situations like that. He puts himself in compromising situations. And I think it's important to not have a woman by your side that puts you in compromising situations. And that doesn't emasculate you publicly, regardless if you say you're in an open relationship or not. So that's my thoughts on that matter. As for Chris Rock's joke, the joke itself, the G.I. Jane joke, is light. It's not anything too serious. But then when you hear about how she was dealing with hair loss, I can see where people see it's insensitive. Now, the issue I have with the conversation around this is people who say that this is violent, because, and justifying slapping somebody in the face over those comments, because it's one thing to have a bad joke, but when you say a bad joke is violence, and then you're basically framing it as worse as physical assault, what is that? What kind of precedent is that setting? You know? So, you know, you get charged for assault, right? You get in trouble with the law. You don't get in trouble with the law for a joke that went wrong. And if we as society, if we start agreeing that to be more outraged at jokes and comparing words to literal violence, what happens to the First Amendment? What happens to comedy itself? And that's the issue that I have, that we don't give each other room to make mistakes. And I don't agree with the demonization of Chris Rock, and I'll go further into that with some of the comments made about him, because this was a show where there's comedy. That's the whole point. There is going to be a bit of roasting. You know, if you've seen Ricky Gervais, he went a lot harder back in 2019. And that was amazing. The Ricky Gervais performance was absolutely amazing. But that's what you're supposed to expect when going to these shows. So one of my criticisms is if you're a couple going to these shows and you know that Jada has been going through it and all that stuff, isn't there like a realization of what you might be getting into by going to the show and sitting in the front row? If this isn't staged, because it could very well be staged. However, even if it is staged, I think it's a good story to talk about to kind of, you know, cover the basis of how we react with masculinity and relationships and things of that nature. So, you know, like there was definitely preventative measures. Was there a phone call to Chris Rock? Like, hey, you know, can we set some boundaries here? Right. I don't think. The one thing that I might disagree with Eli Marcus's status, and all respect to him, I love his fucking content. The one thing I might disagree with is Chris Rock having to have permission to make certain jokes. Because even though people like to say impact over intent, and in some situations, yes, I do agree impact over intent, I think intention does matter. And for all we know, Chris Rock could have walked into that situation not knowing, you know, thinking that it was a style choice. Or, you know, for some people, the G.I. Jane compliment, I mean, the G.I. Jane comment can come off as a compliment. You know, for some people, if they're going through a situation like that, they had to shave their head bald and they're fully owning it. If they fully process that, then someone being like, hey, G.I. Jane, like G.I. Jane 2. It's like, fuck yeah, I'll be in G.I. Jane 2. So it could be taken as a compliment. And, you know, comedians are supposed to push the envelope in a way and they take risk. I don't think I think comedians should be given grace as well. You know, it's like, you know, should a comedian risk getting slapped in the face or should he just be heckled? You know, like is a slap in the face would be escalating the situation. Now, I'm sure that there's room for repair and all this and all that good stuff. A slap in the face is not the end of somebody. He didn't risk giving him a concussion or nothing like that. So it is what it is. But that's my thoughts on it. I find it a bit disturbing that society views a joke more offensive than actual physical violence. Or a joke is more harmful than actual physical violence. Because that's really a scary precedent. Not I don't want to say scary as like, let's be scared and worried. But it's just like it's a concerning precedent to have. Like, you know, I think we should have the freedom of speech and, you know, people should have resilience and we shouldn't be so fragile. You know, I think fragility is a bad thing. Like, I think that's, you know, accepting fragility is a more dangerous thing than a joke itself. Like the fact that you're in this belief system that you're so fragile that you can't take a joke, even if it was a little personal, even if it was a personal jab, like, come on now. I've been the butt of jokes. I've been made fun of. I've gotten in physical fights. I've been in emotional abusive situations. And I gotta say that, you know, like a joke is not the same as being in an emotionally abusive relationship. It's not the same as being actively harassed and bullied. Like one joke, it could hit you and it could piss you off, but it shouldn't be this justification of like, oh, it, like comedians shouldn't be going on stage and say, fuck, if I say something that accidentally triggers somebody, then somebody's going to slap me in the face. Like we probably shouldn't live a life like that. You know, like I think we should be mindful. Definitely. We should honor each other. But, you know, how many times have I said a joke that went sideways? Like, I don't want to get punched every fucking time that I said a bad joke. Like, shit. If every time I said something that offended somebody on my podcast that is called Sorry I Offended You, someone came into my room and slapped me in the face, like that would be a travesty. Like, geez, man, like we gotta have some grace for each other and we need to have open discussion. And that brings me into this next factor of this conversation is when wokeism is brought into this conversation. So something that's been happening here is that it's now being described in the lens of race. And the thing is, look, you know, there are three black people were involved in this situation. And of course you can add race to that discussion. The thing that I disagree with is making it all in the lens of race, because I think that is avoiding crucial parts of the conversation and crucial parts of the discussion. I also think it can lead to bully behavior and ironically racism. And what else? You know, I think, and I also think that, you know, your race is not the determining factor if you're qualified to talk about this. I think that's full of shit. Like, I think what matters most is your knowledge around relationships, right? And your experience, not necessarily like, oh, I got the right skin color so I can talk about this topic. That's a very ignorant way to look at this, and I'll stand by it. You can record this and cut this in your clips. I said it. So anyway, so we're going, if you don't like me talking about all about the woke stuff, we're getting into alt-right, borderline, maybe Nazi, white supremacist people, and my criticism towards them soon. So we're going to keep this fair and balanced. Don't worry about it. So anyway, let's go. Let's go. So now a trend that seems to be happening now is like the social justice aspect of this conversation is going on. And one of the posts reads as this. So I'm quoting the post right now. Dear white friends, this is the exam y'all have been preparing for. Clap, 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 I guess. Like, oh, thanks for giving us an exam. Okay, anyway. You've read White Fragility. No, I haven't. Between the World and Me. Nope, haven't read it. And followed every black social justice activist on IG and Twitter. Nope, I unfriended them. They're abusive. Final exam. How to Stay in Your Lane 101. A cultural ethnography. I'm an idiot. I don't know how to say that word. One, as it pertains to Will Smith hitting Chris Rock at the Oscars, I should, A, get on social media and declare how much respect I've lost for Will Smith. B, post quote-unquote funny, aka casually racist memes about the incident, and then defend myself when people call me out on my trifling behavior. Well, I chose B. I mean, I don't think my content is racist, but according to her opinion, it is racist. But anyway, I'll talk about that later. C, exercise my God-given right to remain silent and understand that, although I witnessed this moment on live TV, I should refrain from partaking in a public discourse layered with cultural and interracial complexities that I do not understand and cannot speak on. Part of divesting from white supremacy includes the sensitivity to recognize when my voice is not relevant and the moment does not belong to me. D, none of the above. Okay, so my caption to that, because I shared it on social media, I like to live dangerously. I said, this is bully behavior and it's common. You can weigh in on celebrity talk, period. Stop letting people like this bully you and dictate what you're allowed to talk about. Obviously, you shouldn't post racist shit. However, the issue is that any form of criticism or opinion will be labeled racism by her ideology if you're white. And frankly, it's abusive and ironically racist. So then I kind of, you know, went into more things I'm going to read here. I also think it's good to be mindful and not to be absolutely hateful about people you don't know. But you're allowed to joke about celebrities and current events. You're allowed to have an opinion. This ideology being promoted is more harmful to people than memes. Use memes and stay away from cults. And I also shared some other takes from this. This other woman wrote, just a note to white people that what happened between Will, Jada, and Chris is black folks' business. Tread lightly. I guess she said that in her Heisenberg voice. So I posted the meme of old Captain America at the end of Endgame. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen that movie yet. It's about like 3 years old. But old Captain America is like, no, I don't think I will. And then this other person had a hot take. She said, Chris Rock's one joke was rooted in misogynoir? Like, I don't know. Is that French? I might sound like a jackass right now. I apologize, but I would think it would be misogyny. Maybe she meant to say misogyny, or maybe she's saying like the French version of misogynoir. It's a misogynoir. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just like being a jackass. It could be anything. This was rooted in misogynoir, texturism, and ableism. Degrading a black woman in a room full of her peers on live TV. The fact y'all don't see that as violent is beyond me. And what I commented on that is I said, amazing how we make something that could have had nothing to do with any of these things into woke nonsense. Perhaps Chris didn't even know and thought it was a clever joke and it went sideways. But no, he must have internalized misogynoir, white supremacy, and ableism because his joke went wrong. So, look, I wouldn't disagree that race plays a part in this conversation, but what I have against is the bully behavior. of like, white people, you need to sit down and listen. Men, you need to sit down and listen. And it's like, we don't get anywhere in society if we're not able to have a conversation. Part of the way that we understand each other is that we do have these conversations. Now, again, I say this is not to give a green light to say rude things on the internet. Obviously, you have the freedom to do whatever the fuck you want to. But I don't recommend putting that energy out there into the world. But I think you're allowed to be opinionated. You get to have fun with the memes. And, you know, wokeism is like the kill of all joy. This really shows how it separates us. Because something where, you know, a white person had nothing to do with it. And the race, at least on the surface level, like you can make the argument of internalized whatever. But on the surface level, race had nothing to do with the actual situation. And then you wedge race into it to make a bigger divide between humanity and this conversation. I just call bullshit on that. I think it's just, you know, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary, divisive rhetoric. And it's regressive. Like sometimes, you know, it feels like we're actively trying to separate ourselves from the, you know, from each other, or there's obviously a psyop to separate ourselves. And while we have our differences and we get to notice those differences, we also get to appreciate the things that we have in common. And, you know, that's one thing good about comedy, for instance, is that we make fun of each other and, you know, laugh at our differences in a lighthearted, non-hateful way. And we can see the common things, you know, the things we have in common and relate to that, you know? So I really think it's divisive to automatically disclude white people from the conversation, men from the conversation. I've seen that. Somebody talked to me like I was a fucking fifth grader, and I was like, nope, I'm not that person. Can't talk to me like that. Sorry, I'm still going to be talking shit. And one of the reasons why I want to share that is that, you know, like those type of things will have you questioning yourself and your intuition and who you are as a person. And I just want to label it for what it is. That is bullying behavior. It's a behavior of a mini tyrant. It's abusive. It can lead to abuse in ways when people try to silence you because of the color of your skin, even if you're considered a privileged white person that racism can't happen to, which is also a form of gaslighting. It's disgusting behavior, and I hope we can move past it as humanity and we can, you know, hold hands and have a good time, you know? It's 2022. Let's fucking stop this shit. So, is there anything else I want to say about the race factor of it? It's just celebrity drama, you know? Everyone, if you're, you have to pay, you have the responsibility with the spotlight on you if you have a bigger audience, if you're a celebrity, right? You know, I don't think it should be fair game to say hateful things, as I said, but, you know, if you're somebody who wants to grow an audience, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with that. People are going to be saying stuff. People of all different ethnicities, all ethnicities hate, you know, all ethnicities say hateful things, and there's trolls of different races. There's diversity and trollism. So brace yourself, right? There's evil in all forms. And last but not least, and not saying like people are evil just for spewing their trauma. They're nice. They're good humans, but they, you know, we react in certain ways and all that good stuff. So is there anything that I want to, oh, did I say this? One last thing on the MERS conversation of like the Darth Vader of rap and why Will Smith didn't get respect, to wrap this in a nice sweet bow. I want to say that, in my opinion, Will Smith is in some form running from a shadow version of himself, like not doing the shadow work. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but there was a conversation between Jordan Peterson, and Robert Greene, and they were talking about hip hop and kind of like mentioning shadow work, like writing raps is like a form of shadow work. Well, you know, if you remember, Eminem said in The Real Slim Shady that Will Smith said he doesn't have to cuss in his records, you know, in his raps to sell records. Well, I do, so fuck you and fuck him too, or fuck him and fuck you too, you know? Like, he said that, and, you know, like, Eminem was sort of like the counter of Will Smith. Eminem took that and kind of, like, responded. Today, that would be considered white violence. But, but my opinion of this is that Will Smith isn't fully owning his shadow work, because he doesn't cuss in his records, but he certainly did cuss in the moment where he reacted. So I feel like there's a lot of suppression of anger, and then he reacts in ways, you know, it's just, I'm sorry. Like, I know you want this to be a masculine act, but it's not a good look when someone tells a joke, you overreact, you slap a man, and then you're in the corner crying about the situation. It's just not a good look. That's not saying that Will Smith is a bad person, but he lost control in that situation. It wasn't an act of honor and valor and all that stuff. Like, I mean, I guess good job, but like, it was a reaction. And what I feel is, like, if you're letting your anger out in a healthy way, then you're not going to enter those situations where your tank is empty. Because when your capacity is empty and, you know, you're low, and this is good advice for everyone to hear, when your capacity is empty and you haven't exercised your anger in a healthy way, or you're not doing the shadow work, which is like expressing yourself or like denying aspects of yourself with the judgment that it's bad, which I think is a possibility for Will, because he doesn't cuss in his records and he has that corny, campy vibe that Murs said that sort of, like, you know, took him out of the hip hop discussion. When you're not honoring that, then that's when you are in situations where you're out of control. And I don't think there's anything masculine about losing emotional control and not dictating where that energy is directed. Is he human? Yes. Is he allowed to make mistakes? For sure. But those mistakes have consequences. And part of the consequence is another man got slapped and you took your anger out on him. You never want to be in a position where you're taking your anger out on somebody and you're not in control. So, like, it's easier for me to say that, but there's ways, you know, there's just ways to prepare yourself for a situation like that. And there's ways to approach situations where you have capacity and you're able to see things that, you know, it's like the Wayne Dyer orange juice conversation. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. When somebody is under pressure, what it comes out of them is something that was already there. And what he already had was anger. There was already built up resentment in his open marriage. I know some people think that open marriages solve everything, but let me tell you, a lot of times it's a fucking cope. You know, a lot of times it's like, shit, like, there's cheating in this relationship and maybe we'll open it. And that's bypassing the healing that needs to be done. So, you know, I just think he's struggling with his masculinity. And whatever, I've struggled with my masculinity, right? It happens to men. And men do need more support systems out there. But we got to call a spade for what it is and stop lying. Some people may not want to hear this, but I think people get excited about this is because we lost contact of what true masculinity is. So when we see somebody overreact, you know, we find a way to make it like, oh yeah, that was awesome, he defended her, without seeing the actual psychology that happened. You know, I think the fanboying over Vladimir Zelensky is somebody who is out of touch with not understanding what leadership and masculinity is, which I guess is understandable when you have leaders like Biden and Trudeau and, you know, just cowardly leaders that you couldn't even imagine being on the battlefield. When you see an actor trying to play the part and you see some war propaganda, you might automatically jump to the conclusion that that person is masculine because it's something new. So that's my take on it. And that's why I labeled this episode GMO masculinity, because we're so detached from real masculinity when we see some overreactive form of aggression, or we see some kind of movie studio fake shit go on that's like, you know, obviously fake to me at least, and to other people who kind of look into this stuff. A lot of people, and maybe people just have that first reaction is like, oh wow, this person is amazing and they're masculine, when really they're a fucking liar in Zelensky's case, and really he puts innocent people in the line of fire in Zelensky's case. And I mean, like, what was it, like 3 weeks ago that he said he only had 2 days to live? Like, it's all a fucking movie. And whatever, this situation is probably all a fucking movie as well. You know, I probably did a whole podcast episode over a publicity stunt, but it is what it is. I think it's a good lesson. And I think it's just good to know not to emotionally react to these things, because you never know what's real and what's fake, what's a distraction. And I'm not that type of person to be like a truther that is above all else. And it's like, ha, you stupid peasants, you fell for the distraction. I don't think that way, like, whatever, but enjoy doing memes and shit. Like, enjoy having a conversation. Like, if it opens up a conscious conversation about relationships and masculinity, have that conversation. But once you're emotionally reacting in this conversation, it's draining your energy and it's not serving you, and it is becoming a distraction. And I think it's also good to look at, like, you know, other things going on in the world that this could be distracting us from. So yeah, I think we just, we're kind of lost in our relationship with masculinity. And this brings me on to the next part as I pull this up. So this guy, Elijah Schaefer, he is the host of the podcast Slightly Offensive. It's a conservative podcast. His co-host, who's his co-host? The name's blanking on me. It's not that I don't care about people. It's because I'm just like this with names. So excuse me for my ways. Sydney Watson is his co-host. So Elijah puts this post out or tweet and says, and get ready for this. This is in reference to Leah Thomas. And I think this is where things go wrong as well. And ironically, there's examples of how he reacted in a scenario that I want to touch on that is in contrast to Will Smith. And, you know, I think they were both wrong. Sorry. I think they were both bad reactions of what a man, you know, the perfect response for a man. And again, I understand when we're in the moment, sometimes you don't take the best action. Sometimes, you know, men have trauma responses too. But hey. So anyway, Elijah says, the same conservatives that draw the line at dudes swimming against chicks in the pool, so this is talking on the Leah Thomas thing, will fight you to the teeth for women to pursue their dreams and careers, take birth control, talk a lot about the need for women leaders, quote, everyone should vote, we have lost the plot. I find it interesting that he ended this with saying that we've lost the plot, when the actual tweet shows everything. Like, the tweet should be titled Losing the Plot, because he totally lost the plot. So anyway, my comment on that was, men who try to control how women vote and sabotage women's dreams and careers are 100% cowards. This dude sat there and watched while his co-host, a woman, was yelled at by another man. So his co-host, Sydney Watson, I guess it was a few months back, this alpha dude, quote unquote alpha dude named Jack Murphy, came on the show, and apparently he had a history of cuckolding, like literally, and he wrote a blog about it, and he also had like naked photos of him like spreading his ass cheeks on the internet. It was, I didn't see the photos, I promised you I didn't see the photos, but enough people have confirmed that they saw the photos to make it real. But anyway, this guy, Jack Murphy, comes on to their show, Elijah and Sydney. What is our show called? I think it's called You Are Here. And then Sydney asked him a question from one of the subscribers about the cucking thing. And he fucking screamed at her. And he just went off on her, and Elijah just sat there and watched. So, you know, as you can see, there's a different response. There's a different situation to respond to. It's a different situation than Chris Rock. And then there was a different response from the other man in the room. Elijah did nothing. In fact, maybe it would have been more helpful if Will Smith was present in that situation. No, I know we like to bring race into things, not in a race thing, but like an escalation of force thing. You know, I think there's a difference between a joke and a man that's in your face and yelling, you know, and I don't think slapping Jack Murphy was the answer in that situation either, unless it did escalate into a fight. I still think trying to de-escalate the situation, but I think a man speaking up in that situation would be the noble thing to do. You know, I don't necessarily think that jumping to smacking him would be a good resolution as well. So I said, onto his comments about voting and career and women having careers and things of that nature, I said, any man who tries to control a woman is lost. This guy needs to be getting counseling instead of pandering to extremists. He needs to heal his masculinity instead of sourcing his power by trying to control women. The far right and the far left both need to self-reflect and figure their lives out. Ironically, he thinks women lost the plot when lost the plot describes his tweet. And I also noted how his co-host Sidney Watson has actually pushed back on somebody with the same ideology that, you know, that is like totally against women's rights. It was this dorky kid named Fuentes. He's like this. You know how people like say people are white supremacists and things like that, and it's just that label is thrown around a lot. Like, this guy is literally a white supremacist. I think his name is Nick Fuentes. Yeah, Nick Fuentes. He, like, cringy guy. And you can find that clip too if you type in like Sidney Watson and Nick Fuentes on YouTube. Very cringy guy. And Sidney did a good job in putting him in his place, which makes me wonder that whole situation. But anyway, outside of the drama of the situation, I want to note that, you know, the correct thing for somebody to do is somebody's, you know, like, for one thing, let's go into this. If you can't protect your co-host on a podcast, then maybe you have no business trying to dictate women's lives and wanting to go back to the 1950s. And it's like, you can't even protect your co-host on the podcast, which also doesn't make sense because it seems like your co-host is pursuing her career. And to be honest, like, you know, she's a good co-host. I think, you know, I don't know all her views, but from what I've seen of her, you know, I think her content is insightful. But anyway, it doesn't make sense. But also, if you're a person who refuses to protect in these situations, how the fuck are you going to live in a scenario in the 50s where a woman is, you know, staying at home and you're the brave protector? How are you going to protect your wife if you can't even protect your podcast host, your co-host? So that's my take on it. And I guess it could sound kind of weird in these situations because I have critiques for Will Smith's response. And I have critiques for Elijah's response of doing nothing. And maybe some people are like, oh, you fucking know it all, Brandon. How dare you? And blah, blah, blah. Like, people already got mad at me in this conversation. Someone called me boring. And I'm like, why do you think I'm boring? Like, you came to my post and you're still talking about it. So obviously this conversation is not boring to you. But once I pointed that out, she stopped responding. So I understand. I understand I might catch some flack. I understand that some people would be like, who the fuck are you? I think this is, who the fuck are you to say what masculinity is and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know. Like, that was the first thing. That was the first thing I learned in personal development, to be honest, is masculinity and learning how to date women and learning how to showcase confidence and charisma and, You know, I've definitely did a lot of work around relationships as well. You know, I don't think relationships is something that you should walk into blindly. So I have been quite a self-help junkie on relationships. I know I do programs like Fuck Cancel Culture, but not too long ago, I did a program on relationships called Relationshift. Did one with Rebecca. And I've actually taught relationships much longer than I've been talking about maybe even self-expression, even though it's kind of connected, and some of the stuff I talk about today. So I know a lot. Not to brag, but I just know about a lot about the psychology of relationships. I've been on the path of mastery of relationships. I've helped people heal from divorce and really manifest a new soul-aligned relationship not too long after. You know, I've had amazing relationship results in my life, definitely grown as a man tremendously since I was early 20s or whatever. So I've matured. I've healed a lot of my own trauma. I learned to, you know, I've took the time to heal myself. And I think that's important for a man. I took the time to become a person that doesn't lash out at women. I become a person that learned how to protect women. I've become a person that, you know, gained a better understanding of women. You know, I took the time to get I didn't know anything about women when I was like in my early 20s. Right. And, you know, I didn't know how to respect the feminine, and I wasn't the same man that I am today. And I was holding on to a lot of anger, and, you know, like, I wasn't the ultimate protector. I didn't have that type of honor within me. And I've done, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm still doing things to get better and all that stuff. But I've done some things, you know. I've gone to retreats. I've taken on the coaching. I've been through life experiences. I've taught people. I've helped other people. You know, my current relationship now, I was able to call that relationship in less than a year after, a parting of ways, a conscious uncoupling, as the spiritual people would say it. You know, like, I was able to heal myself from a situation where a relationship, you know, just wasn't meant to be anymore, and we broke up. And, you know, and I think a big part of that breakup was me, you know, just like in the middle of our relationship, I pursued my career as a coach, and I was evolving, and I went to, you know, I evolved spiritually, and eventually we weren't a match anymore. And somehow that had to break up. You know, not saying that that relationship was necessarily bad. Of course, the ending wasn't, you know, the ending isn't always pretty, maybe never pretty. But I was able to use the skills that I had and the emotional maturity that I had to heal myself from all the trauma that I was going through. And I was fortunate to attract the soulmate that I have now that I'm getting married to in a week. So it's cool. You know, it's cool to, when you understand relationships and psychology, and you understand, you know, you've took the time to master your emotions or your emotional intelligence, then, you know, you can really build a powerful relationship where, you know, things work and it's healthy and it's amazing and it's joyful and it's, most of the time it's great. You know, sometimes there's tension, and that's normal for relationships. But I think it's one of the most important skills to learn. So that's why I talk about it. So anyway, what I want to say is, I think the idea of wanting to control women in their careers comes from a place of insecurity and inadequacy. And I would advise women to stay away from men who hold them down like that, who try to control them. Like, you know, and don't try to fix men, right? It's like, you're not, like, it's my duty as a man to heal my shit for my relationship with Rebecca. It's my duty. It's not her duty to fix me. Like, sure, we benefit from being in a relationship together. You know, we help guide each other I step into that masculine leadership role and all that good stuff. But it's not her job to fix me. It's not her job to solve my problems. And it's not her job to convince me to get on board with what she's doing, or for her to beg and plead for me to support her dreams. And I think it's quite insulting for a man to try to control a woman and treat a woman less than human and suppressing her dreams. I think it's, you know, horrible. You know, it's horrible what that does to people. You know, what kind of impact that has on a woman. And I don't think any woman should tolerate it. And I think every man should look in themselves in the mirror if they're doing it and say, like, look, you know, I need to trust myself so I'm able to trust the woman that I'm with. Now, I see an exact contrast between, like, the super conservative man. The super conservative man that thinks it needs to be old fashioned and she needs to be in the kitchen and I need to control her bank account, or she can't have a bank account, or she can't vote. I think there's a contrast between them and the free spirit of Will and Jada Smith. Like, who is like, free will. And, you know, okay, we'll open our relationship and, you know, we sleep with whoever we want and blah, blah, blah. I think there's, in my opinion, I think fulfillment and happiness comes in between that. I think it's an insecure stance for a man to try to control a woman. And I'll give props to Will Smith. You know, he deserves some props. I don't want to make this a podcast downing Will Smith. Again, I appreciate his work. I appreciate him as a person, and I wish him the most healing possible. So give him props for loving in a way that a woman is free, but there needs to be backbone. There needs to be like, hey, like, no, I'm not standing for this, or like, no, this is not okay with me. It's not okay for me to, you know, assuming that his pride was shot from the open relationship. You know, I don't know for sure, but like, hey, it's not okay for me for you to have these entanglements, you know? In fact, I want us to be together, so, you know, exclusively together. Like, there's a mixture between a man holding his boundaries and having standards versus a man who is uber controlling and treating a woman like she's not even human because he's so fucking insecure. And if you can find that balance, then you're in a good place. There's been times where I was insecure and controlling in my early times in life, very insecure and jealous and afraid of losing the girl that I was with at the time. And there was also part of me at times where I felt emasculated, and there were times where I wasn't fully putting my foot down. And there were times where I felt like I was walked all over by a woman. So I can relate to both sides of that, those aspects of a man trying to get in touch with his masculinity. I also want to lighten the blow here and say, like, I want to get away from like this whole talk of like, men, get your shit together. Cause honestly, us men, we don't have enough emotional support out there. You know, I was on a mushroom journey recently. And part of that was like, realize, and I do want to do a podcast episode that goes deeper into my mushroom journeys, cause I've been doing a lot of healing around that. But I came to this realization that society abuses men, and then men react to that abuse, and then we get punished more for it, and we get criticized more for it. Think of that. And we have it to where men don't feel open to talk to each other. Like, it's so ingrained in us to just toughen things out and don't express your feelings. Like, even Will Smith, he's been mocked for expressing his feelings. He's been mocked publicly way before this happened. And, you know, my heart goes out to him. And I hope he finds the healing he needs. But at the same time, I can't lie and pretend that it was an act of courage or it was a good thing of what he did. And perhaps we can both have compassion for him and his situation, but also have a high standard for what we should step into as men. To have respect for ourselves, but also to have respect for the feminine. It's almost as if Will Smith has respect for the feminine, but there's not that respect for himself. And it's almost as if the Elijah Schaefer guy might have that respect for himself, and maybe there's like disrespect for himself in an internalized way, but he doesn't respect the feminine. And if we can blend those two together where it's like, I refuse to be the victim and I refuse to be the hero or the villain, and I decide to operate from a place of ease and flow, I'm going to respect my wife and I'm going to defend her honor. But also, I'm not going to let my own wife walk all over me and humiliate me publicly. And I'm going to hold the throne and I'm going to have it to where she trusts me so much that she can relax and doesn't feel like she has to publicly humiliate me or put me in compromising situations. So that's my thought. To wrap things up, to see a woman screamed at and not do anything about it, I think is a wrong move. But to slap a man over a joke, I don't think is a wrong move either. In the situation where a man is screaming at a woman, I think the best thing to do is for the man in the room to get in front of that woman and protect her and get in his face and say, hey, you need to chill the fuck out. I think the proper move for when somebody tells a joke like Chris Rock is to know what you're getting to in the first place, A, and understand you're sitting in the fucking front row, B. And when that happens, not to emotionally react with physical violence. If, you know, Chris Rock wasn't in her face, but instead to comfort your woman next to you. And if you need to, walk out of the situation. That makes a bigger statement than making a public spectacle about yourself. Spectacle of yourself. So that's my thoughts. And rules of escalation and engagement follow all of this. It's like, if a man is threatening physical violence, then you get to threaten physical violence back. But if you can de-escalate a situation, it's your duty as a man to de-escalate that situation. And I think that's a responsible thing to do. That's what somebody who is probably trained in martial arts would tell you to do. And yeah, I just think that's the best way to go about things. And yeah, one last thing. People have had arguments about comedy and stuff of that nature with the whole Will Smith thing. And something I'll say is that the roast on Comedy Central goes 100 times harder than this award, that joke, the G.I. Jane joke. It goes 100 times harder. Like, let's stop this nonsense. And also, it's like, it's comedy. Like, we gotta lighten up and stop being so fucking fragile. We just gotta lighten the fuck up. And, you know, I know, it wasn't the most tasteful joke, but seriously, like, we need to lighten up. Words aren't violent. You know, the joke could have been distasteful, but let's stop lying and say that the words are violent and they equal a violent reaction. So that's my thoughts on Will Smith. That's my thoughts on Elijah Schaefer. That's my thoughts on the woke left. That's my thoughts on the alt-right. And hopefully we can bring balance to the force. Fuck politics. And let's bring it back to humanity. Let's find ways to connect to each other. Let's tell the truth, but also respect each other in these conversations, please. And if you're interested in giving a middle finger to fuck cancel culture, check out the show notes and join my program called Fuck Cancel Culture. It's also at my website, BrandonMarshallHavener.com. Please share this podcast with your friends and your stories. And it's always appreciated if you leave a 5-star review and leave a nice comment to me in that review. You know, nice comments, not comments that will hurt my feelings. Please don't make any comments about my hair. I know, my hair's been receding since the 8th grade. Like, you know, I can't take it anymore. So please, please be nice to me in the comments. Thank you. This is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out. Thanks for listening.